If you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of John. John chapter number 5 tonight. The book of John chapter number 5. Again, so glad to have this opportunity. Glad you're here. I'm glad I ain't got to preach to empty pews tonight. But anyway, John chapter number 5 tonight. I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the waters, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered and said, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight, Lord. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for an opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God, Lord. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, it's affected our lives, Father, Lord, and I thank you for it tonight, Lord. Thank you for the service and all that's been done. Lord, I do pray you'd bless this man's efforts, Lord, as he tries to help get our nation to turn back to you, Father. I pray you would help our country tonight, Lord, that we would look to you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I do pray now for myself. I pray you would empty me of myself, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I pray you'd remove any nerves. Remove any fear, Father, that I might stand in the power of the Holy Ghost and not my own power tonight, Lord. Help me to be dependent upon you tonight, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight for my audience, may they listen with open ears and open hearts, Father. May they be receptive to the Word of God. Lord, may the message affect our lives, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. In the year 1598, some Dutch sailors discovered a small island just east of the island of Madagascar. On this island, they discovered a flightless bird. This bird was unable to fly. In fact, it walked on the ground. And in fact, also, there was a large population of this specific bird. This bird stood 3 foot tall and weighed anywhere from 23 to 47 pounds. So you can say it was about the size of a turkey. We see that these sailors found this bird to be very easy to catch. And it made good food for them. In other words, they said, tastes like chicken, you know, as they caught this particular bird. Today, this bird no longer exists. In fact, it is extinct. They no longer live today. In fact, it only took 64 years for this flightless bird to go extinct. You say, what is the name of the bird? Well, the name of the bird is a dodo bird. This name comes from the Portuguese word meaning simpleton. These dodo birds were slow, they were very awkward, and not very smart. I think about they kind of like me, you know? Slow, awkward, and none too smart, you know? Have you ever known somebody like that? There's people like that today. These birds, they lacked fear of humans, and they lacked fear of predators. And as the humans came there to that island and those sailors came there, it became very easy for those folks to catch these birds, and soon these birds were very quickly becoming rare and almost extinct. Because of their makeup and because of their small brains, they were unable to continue as a species. They were unable to overcome their situation. They were unable to conquer their problem that they had. In other words, they acted like dodos. If you think about this tonight, to be a dodo is not a badge that you would wear with honor. I don't know tonight about you, but I do not want to be known as a dodo. Many of you in here tonight, if somebody was to call you a dodo, would probably make something rise up inside of you, you know? It would anger you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be known as a dodo. To be a dodo means to be going in the wrong direction. To be a dodo means to be headed down a road full of trouble. Tonight, I would like to point out a man in the text that we read who was acting like a dodo bird. His ways were messed up. His actions were wrong, and his decisions did not help him in any way. In fact, it was not until Jesus showed up that this man was no longer a dodo. If you look in verse number 5 of our scripture tonight, we find here that the Bible says, "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years." Notice this man tonight was an individual. He was a certain man. He was somebody that the Word of God picked out. Somebody that amongst the crowd, the Lord Jesus was to lock his eyes upon. If you were to look up in verse number 3, it says, "In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk." In other words, this man was among people who had the same condition as him. They were in trouble. They had disease. They had problems that they could not overcome of themselves. We see that this man was there and he was looking for a miracle. He was looking for something that could get him out of his present situation. Notice this man had a problem. The Bible tells us there in verse number 5 that he had an infirmity. That word infirmity simply means a weakness or unhealthy state of the body. It means feebleness, defect, or imperfection. We find out a little later on in the reading that this man was lame. This man could not walk. This man had the inability to get up and move forward and do anything for himself. We notice also about this man that he had been in this condition for 38 years of his life. For 38 years, this man lay on this bed beside of this pool called Bethesda. For 38 years, this man lay there unable to help his situation. As far as we know tonight, this man was not born this way. You know, there are many people who are born with defects and problems and things of that nature, but this man was not born this way. In other words, this man had at one time the ability to walk. This man at one time had the ability to act like a normal human being or go around the way that he wanted to. But he had an experience. Whether it was an accident or whether it was a sickness along the way in life, something had put him in this position. And now for 38 years, his situation was not very good. In fact, if you look at verse number 7, there are three more things that I need to point out about this man's situation. First of all, this man, we see here in verse 7, he had no man. When the Lord asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" the impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man." This man's friends had all abandoned him. This man, if he had a father that was alive, had been abandoned by his father. This man, if he had a brother that was alive, he had been abandoned by his brother. This man, if he had children that were alive, had been abandoned by his children. This man had been abandoned by his co-workers. Maybe the accident happened while he was on the job and there were men there to comfort him. But now, after 38 years, they had said, "We've had enough." This man had been abandoned by those he attended church with. There were no church folks that came around to help this man and help him in his situation. He had been totally abandoned. This man was completely alone. I think about not only did he have no man, but not only that, he had no plan. He had no plan. If you will look down there in verse number 7, he says, "When the waters is troubled, to put me into the pool." In other words, he was saying he had no way of getting into the pool to be healed. I think about in my mind, I imagine this man, I'm thinking, why didn't you just get up on the ledge and when the water moved, just roll yourself off, you know? But apparently this man had no imagination. He had no plan. He had no future. He was not looking to get out of the situation that he was in. He had got comfortable in his situation. He had got comfortable in the problem that he had, and he had not known or he had no way of knowing how to get out of that way. I think about as he had no plan, not only that, but he had no hope. As we see tonight and we look there, he says, "But while I am coming," in verse 7, "while I am coming, another step down before me." In other words, somebody was always faster than him. Somebody always beat him to the water. Somebody always was ahead of him, and he was always there, and he always saw somebody else get help, but yet he himself had never had the ability to experience that help. I see, so for this man, 38 years of his life, he had been in bad shape. For 38 years of his life, this man had been alone. For 38 years of his life, this man had had no plan. For 38 years of this life, this man had no hope. Yet, for some reason, he kept doing the same thing. He kept going back down to that pool every day for 38 years. Despite not ever being healed, despite his circumstance not ever being changed, despite nothing ever happened to benefit him, every day he went down to that pool. He kept going down there waiting for some angel to stir the water. To me, as I looked at this man and as I began to read this story this week, I would say that this man was acting like a dodo. He continued to go in the same direction, yet nothing was changing, yet nothing was different. His problem continued. His situation remained the same, and he kept sailing the same way year after year. He, like so many people today, keep running to the same places with their problems, yet they leave with their problems still intact. He, like so many today, try new crowds in order to overcome their situation. Yet when they go to those crowds and when they go to those places, their problem yet remains. He, like so many today, find themselves back by the pool in the same situation. Like the dodo, they are given to predators and they are given over to things that cause their lives to be torn or to be shattered. This man was in a lot of trouble. And tonight, for the remainder of our time, what I'd like to do is simply preach a message entitled, Don't Follow the Dodo Bird. Don't follow the dodo bird. Listen, every one of us in this room tonight is going to face problems in our lives. Everyone in this room tonight has some sort of situation in our lives. Everyone in this room tonight is going to have something that needs to be overcome in our lives tonight. But listen, we need to be careful not to be following after the wrong things. We need to be careful not to be like this man and find ourselves 38 years down the road in the same circumstance and in the same situation. I think about this man as he was there by the water and nothing changed. There were three things that I'd like to point out real quick that this man was following after. First of all, tonight, one of the things that this man was following after is the multitude. The multitude. If you look there in verse 3, it says, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. This man was surrounded by people who could not help themselves, much less help him. If you think about that tonight, they were all under the same fate. Some of them were even under the worst fate tonight. They lay in their condition, sick, lame, dying, and they just kept laying there, unable to help themselves. This man was just following the crowd instead of looking for a way to remedy his situation. I think about, for some reason today, there are those who have great needs, there are those that have great problems, yet they run with the same people who are experiencing the same problems and situations. You often wonder, somebody says, well, I'm trying to get over this matter of my drug addiction. Well, who do you hang out with? Drug addicts. Wait a minute, what's the problem there? You're hanging out with someone who is not going to be able to help you in your present condition. You say, I'm trying to get closer to the Lord, and I'm trying to get sin out of my life, and I'm trying to repair my life so that I can serve the Lord. Well, who are you hanging around with? Well, I'm hanging around with people who are sinners, who are not worried about getting their life in order. Guess what? That's not going to cause your situation to improve in any way whatsoever. There are those tonight that when they come to situations in life and their problems come, instead of running to the house of God, instead of running to a pastor or running to a Sunday school teacher or running to a deacon or running to a godly person, they run to the world tonight. And the world is in the same condition as them. They are following after the dodo bird. They are following after that thing that is completely unable and has absolutely no ability to help them tonight. I think about the multitude today as I looked at this. The multitude is the world today. The Bible describes the world. Another name for the world is Egypt. Abraham, what did he do when drought came? He ran down to Egypt. He picked up a lady called Hagar, and guess what? We're still paying for that today because Abraham did not stay where he was supposed to be at. I think about not only that, but the world today is Moab. There was a fella in the book of Ruth that run over there to Moab when there was no bread in the house of bread. And guess what? He died along with his two sons. It cost his wife a lot of heartache and his wife a lot of trouble when he should have just stayed there in Bethlehem and waited for God to provide. Instead, he run to the world. I think about the world is that far country. That prodigal son there who run over there and he wasted his living with riotous living. And he lived there in that far country. And when all of his money was gone and when all of his wealth was gone, he was left there alone in a situation. And guess what? Those friends that he had were not there. They could no longer help him. And he found comfort in the hog's trough, feeding the husk. I think about tonight, we need to be wary and understand tonight that, listen, the world cannot help our condition. The world cannot help our situation. Listen, you may be in here tonight and there's never been a time that you've trusted Christ as your Savior. There's never been a place where you've bowed a knee and you've looked to heaven and you've trusted Christ and asked Him to forgive you of your sins. Guess what? The world does not have the answer to forgive your sins tonight. The world will not help your current situation. All the world will do is continually pull you away from what will help you. You may be in here tonight and you may be a Christian and you may realize some things in your life are not what they're supposed to be. And you may realize tonight there's some things that you need to work on. Guess what? The world cannot help you with those things. The world will not benefit you in any way. The only way that you'll be benefited of those things is to run away from that multitude and get along with the Lord and trust the Lord to help you with those things. I think about tonight, yes, you can turn to drugs. Yes, you can turn to lust. Yes, you can turn to alcohol. Yes, you can turn to all sorts of other things. But listen tonight, those things will only numb your condition. Eventually, that feeling is going to come back, and more than likely, that feeling is going to come back with pain that you have not experienced yet, worse than what you were doing before. I think about in facing problems today and in facing troubles today, we need to be careful not to follow the worldly flock, because the worldly flock is going extinct. The worldly flock, like the dodo, is dying off. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, a believer has life inside of them. We're going to live forever. But listen, there's a thing called the second death, and that's at the lake of fire, and that's the destination of this old world. I think about another thing tonight that made this man following after the dodo bird was he was following after the movement. The movement. If you look there in verses 3 and 4, it says there, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4 says, for an angel went down at a certain season to the pool and troubled the waters. Notice, he was looking for that water to move. He was looking for that water to begin to move. I think about that. He was looking for the waters to be troubled. I thought about this tonight as you think about that water. Think about every time the wind blew and there was a ripple. There was 10 lepers that just jumped in the pool, you know, for no reason, you know. You think about every time a fish jumped, guess what? 3 guys that had withered hands just went swimming for no reason. I thought in my mind, and maybe this is cruel, but man, if you could get some rocks and get behind a bush and start skipping, you could have fun all day long, you know. Just people, boom, jumping in, you know, the waters are moving. But listen, that sounds ridiculous, don't it? But that's what that man was waiting for, you know. That's what that man was looking for. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, there are people today who are faced with problems, who are faced with situations, who are faced with things, and they're looking for something to move them. They're looking for something to stir them, you know? They're not looking for the stirring of the Holy Spirit like they should be looking for, but they're looking for something that'll stir their emotions. Listen tonight, we're emotional creatures, and there's nothing wrong with having a little emotions. There's nothing wrong with that. I think about my own self this week. I got a phone call, and I got some good news, and I stood in my bedroom for a few minutes, and tears welled up in my eyes. And you can ask my wife, I don't often cry. But you know what? The Lord had blessed and answered a prayer, and He had relieved a burden. And in those moments, tears began to flow. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had just done a work in my life. But listen, there's a world today that are looking for something just to stir their emotions. Christians today are looking for something to stir their emotions. They're looking for some preacher to get up and shake them up. Listen, it's not the preacher's job to shake them up. It's the preacher's job to preach the Word. And it's the Holy Spirit's job to shake up the life. I think about in Ephesians 4 verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. But by the sleight of man
and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Notice there, we're not to be tossed to and fro. Listen, there's a world today of people out there that all they're doing is they're tickling ears. And they're taking and they're tossing Christians to and fro. They're tossing people who are looking for a little stir to and fro, and it's causing them more harm. There's a world today full of dodos out there who are looking to stir people up. They're looking to stir people up. There's a portion of Scripture in the Bible that talks about an empty wagon. And you say, what's an empty wagon? An empty wagon is something that just makes a lot of noise. There's no substance in that wagon. There's nothing that's going to benefit anybody in that wagon. It just makes a lot of noise. Listen, there's men out there and there's even women out there today who all they're doing is making a lot of noise. Last time I checked, the TV's got full of people who's just making a bunch of noise. The last time I checked, the radio waves is full of people who are just making a lot of noise tonight. They're looking to stir the emotions. Listen, tonight we need to be listening for the still, small voice. Over there in the book, over there in the Old Testament, there was Elijah, I believe it was, and he was standing there, and the Lord wasn't in the thunder, and the Lord wasn't in the strong wind, but the Lord was in a still, small voice. Listen, there are times in our lives where we just need to get alone with God and say, I'm listening for that voice, Lord. I'm listening for that voice that's going to stir me. Listen, when the Holy Spirit moves, what does it do? It moves us to prayer. When the Holy Spirit begins to move, what does it do? It moves us to humble ourselves down. I remember one church service where the Lord was beginning to work and men begin to stir and men begin to get excited about the things of God and they begin to weep. And I begin to watch them as they fell down on the altar and they begin to confess their sins. And they begin to confess their failures. And I'm not talking about like sinners off the street. I'm talking about God-called preachers. What happened? The Holy Spirit was stirring and causing them to humble themselves before a thrice holy God. I think about not only that, the Holy Spirit moves us to the book. It moves us to the Word of God. Listen, those people that preach and those people that are looking to stir the emotions, what they'll do is they'll get up and read John 3:16, go in 100 different directions, talk about a good story, tell a funny joke, and they'll say, go home. Guess what? That's not Holy Spirit-filled preaching. Holy Spirit-filled preaching is found in the Word of God. I think about not only that, but the Holy Spirit will move us to worship Christ. Listen, we need to beware and not be followers of the dodo birds of movement tonight. Then I see thirdly tonight another thing we need to be wary of. And this man was not following after was the moment. The moment. Look in verse number 4. It says, "For an angel went down at a certain season." Look there, that certain season. This speaks of a moment of time. But if you think about this man, for 38 years he had been waiting for that moment. For 38 years he had laid there waiting for that one moment when something was going to happen, the waters were going to stir, and then boom, problem solved. I think about tonight we need to be wary not to look for the moment. He kept telling himself, today is the day, things will be different today, things will be different today. I think about how often do people say and how often have you heard sinners say, listen, I'll get saved tomorrow. As I read through the Bible, and as me and my wife and Vivian were reading through the Bible several weeks ago, I'm reminded in the book of Exodus where Pharaoh had that problem with all them frogs. And those frogs had come in everywhere, and they got in every crevice and every nook and every cranny, and they was in the bathtub, they was in the sink, they was in the oven, they was in the outhouse, they was everywhere. But you know what? Pharaoh showed up, and Moses said, listen, I'll take the frogs away, and Pharaoh said, well, you can do it tomorrow. I thought, man, I guarantee you Cleopatra or whoever his wife slapped him right then. You know, tomorrow, what's wrong with you, man? Today, get them things gone today. But listen, for some reason people develop this attitude that they're looking for a moment. They're looking for a specific day. They say, you know what, I'll get saved when I'm 21 years old and after I've partied and been through high school and college and sowed my wild oats. There's a danger in that. There are those people today that are working jobs and they have a family and God's working in their lives and God might be calling them to do something. They say, wait a minute, God, wait until I'm retired and my family's grown up and I don't have all of these responsibilities. Guess what? The day you retired might be the day that the doctor says you got stage 4 cancer, you got 6 months. You know, we don't need to be looking for a moment. Don't follow the dodo bird of the future moment. Listen, the Bible says we are to work while it is day, for the night is coming. I think about the night that's coming. It's like a darkness that we can't even begin to imagine. Listen, that time of Jacob's trouble, that time of the tribulation period is going to be dark. Listen, it's light. Today is the day that we need to be working. I think about how that this matter of salvation, the Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation.
what sinner, what many person today lies there in the pits of hell in those torments and those flames. And they said, if you'd have just given me one more day, if you'd have just given me one more hour, I would have accepted the Lord. But guess what? They didn't have one more day. They didn't have one more hour. That moment was then and not later on. I think about this man was acting like a dodo bird, for these things that he was looking for could not help him. I think about, listen tonight, you sit here on the pews and I may sit here on the pews and we say, listen, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it in 1 year. I'll do it in 2 years. And the next thing we know, 2 years turns to four. Four turns to eight and eight turns to 16. Man, I'm Ernest T. Bass. I got it down. But listen, what I'm saying is the next thing you know, that time that you thought you had will begin to evaporate. And those moments that you thought that you would make a decision to serve the Lord, or you thought you would make a decision to trust Christ, all of a sudden those moments begin to pass by swifter than you realize. And before you realize it, you're like this man 38 years laying down there beside a pool. I think about how this man was acting was not helping him in any way. How this man was acting was not benefiting him in any way. But look in verse number 6 tonight. Verse number 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Notice there, Jesus took his case. Jesus took his case. Jesus found this dodo bird laying there by the pool of Bethesda. He found him there, and Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to help this man. I'm going to change this man's life. If you will tonight, notice what happens in verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Guess what? Jesus is the man. Jesus is the man. That man laid there for 38 years, and he said, I have no man. But all of a sudden, the man showed up. All of a sudden, the Savior appeared on the scene, and guess what? He went from I having no man to having the man. Think about the night I got saved and the victories that God has given my life. Listen, there have been times when my pastor could not help me. There have been times my Sunday school teacher could not help me. There have been times when mom and daddy couldn't help me. There have been times when my wife couldn't help me. But guess what? The man, Jesus Christ, showed up and helped me in those moments and overcome those things. Not only is Jesus Christ the man, but Jesus has a plan. If you'll notice there, he says, rise, rise. Get up from where you're at, you know? I think about so many Christians are just laying down where they're at. And there's so many Christians have gotten comfortable in the position that they're in. So many sinners are comfortable in their sin tonight. And listen, tonight, what you need to do is rise and get out of that situation and begin to seek after and follow the Savior. Jesus is the man. Jesus has a plan. And Jesus was his only hope. Notice there, he said, walk. Walk. He says, get up. He says, get on your feet, young man. Well, older man now, 38. That ain't too old. Anyhow. But he says, get on your feet. He says, walk. He says, listen, your hope has just been restored. I think about all this man had missed in his life. For 38 years, he had laid there by that pool. I think about how that he could have missed his children growing up. This man could have missed all sorts of other things. You know, I think he was down there on Christmas. Could you imagine missing 38 years of Christmas? What a sad thing. He missed 38 Thanksgiving turkeys because he was busy down there by the pool. But listen, the Lord showed up with hope and he said, hey, get up, young man. Hey, get up, rise and walk. By verse number 9, if you look there, it says, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. By verse 9, this man was styling and profiling. This man had his feet underneath him, and guess what? He was walking around, moonwalking, showing what he could do with his new legs that the Lord Jesus Christ had just gave him. I think about this man. This man stopped acting like a dodo bird. He no longer wanted to fly with those dodos he had been with for 38 years of his life. Why? The Lord had intervened on his behalf and he had done a great work in his life. I think about tonight, there are three things for us that we must do. Three questions we must answer tonight if we are to not be dodo birds. If we're to not be lying down there with the rest of those folks. First of all, the question that we need to answer and the decision we need to make is simply this. Wilt thou be made whole? What a question that is. What a question that is. Wilt thou be made whole? Look there in verse number 6 of the latter part. Wilt thou be made whole? I think about this tonight as we look at our lives and we examine our lives. Listen, do you want a change in your life tonight? Do you want to change where you are with the Lord tonight? Listen, sinner, do you want to change the direction that you're going in? Jesus Christ asked the same question tonight. Wilt thou be made whole? Listen, your situation will not change because of the world. Your situation will not change because of some emotional experience. Your situation will not change because of things in life. But listen, Jesus Christ wants to make you whole tonight. Are you tired of laying there by the pool helpless?
Are you tired of saying, I have no man, I have no plan, and I have no hope? Jesus said, I'm the man, I have the plan, and I'm your only hope tonight. If you and me are going to do anything for the Lord, we must answer the question, wilt thou be made whole? And then secondly tonight, wilt thou take up thy bed and walk? Verses 8 through 11, Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. If you look later on in verse number 11, it says, or verse number 10, it says, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful to thee to carry thy bed. Guess what? Some holy roller, some religious police showed up and began to question him, you know? What are you toting your bed around for, you know? It's like the person gets saved and there's that person on the back row somewhere. What are they so happy about, you know? They try to damper that person's excitement. They try to tear down what the Lord had just done in their life. Look how this man responded. He said, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. He said, listen, you didn't tell me to do it. Mama didn't tell me to do it. Daddy didn't tell me to do it. The preacher man didn't tell me to do it. But the one that made me whole told me to do it. I think about tonight, we need to realize we need to take up our bed and walk because Jesus told us to do so. Jesus told us He's the one that wants us to work. He's the one that wants us to serve Him. He's the one who wants us to grow. He's the one that He wants us to go out and get other dodos and bring them to Christ tonight. I think about thirdly tonight, another question we need to answer. Wilt thou tell of Jesus? Wilt thou tell of Jesus? Down in verses 14 and 15, it says, afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple. Notice he's in the temple. This man got healed, he got whole, and where did he go? He went to the house of God. I think about the fellow this morning, he talked a little bit about those evidences of being saved. One of those evidences was showing up at the house of God, wasn't it? He went to the temple. Notice he says here, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. Notice, this man had to tell somebody what Jesus had done in his life. This man had to say, listen, for 38 years of my life, I laid down there by a pool. For 38 years of my life, I sought after the wrong things. For 38 years of my life, I wasted my time. And then Jesus showed up and my whole situation changed. I think about, he said, I'm no longer going to run with the dodos, but I'm running for the Lord now. So in closing tonight, are you going to stay in your present condition? Are you going to stay in the condition of following the dodo birds of the world? The dodo birds of movement are waiting for something to move you tonight? Listen, are waiting for that moment? Listen, are you going to be made whole tonight? I think about how this man for 38 years wasted his life. So many Christians today, they waste their lives for whatever reason. They don't give in to what the Lord is calling them to do. And they lay there for 38 years. There have been many people in life that have said at the end of life, I wish I would have done more for the Lord. You know, I've stood there beside beds in nursing homes, and I've stood there beside beds in homes where people were on the edge of leaving this world, and time and time and time again, I've heard it said, I wish I would have done more for the Lord. Jesus is asking the question tonight, wilt thou be made whole? Listen, He has a plan for your life, and if you will, He'll make you whole, Pastor.